Well, a few things. Just over the course of the past week, the data is still coming through on the strong side in most countries. And something we're going to see over the next week or so is the release of Q3 GDP numbers. And what will be noticeable about that is very, very strong rebounds for most economies. But the trouble is it probably can't last. And so that's going to be the tailpiece on it. But just going back to some of this data out of the US over the past week, housing part, we had a lot of housing data out over the past week, and it's still phenomenally strong. So at the leading edge, we're still getting some very, very good readings. So we had the October National Association of Home Builders Index came out. It was at a record 83 going back the previous month. Market thought it would hold that. It went up further to 85. So home builders are just in heaven over there. They really are doing well. And we can see it in some of the other data that came through. We had September home building permits and also housing starts. Home building permits are at the very leading edge of what's going to be happening in terms of home building activity over there. And the market thought they'd get a 2% rise there for the month. They got 5.2%. Housing starts, not quite as good as that. The market thought they'd get 2.4. They got 1.9. But we also got September existing home sales came out. And these have been rising strongly month in, month out, almost all the way through the COVID-19 outbreak. Going back to August, they lifted another 2% month on month. The market thought they'd get 3.3%. They got 9.4% increase. So it just shows you right at the leading edge. You've got some strength there. And we still had it there with the manufacturing PMI and the services sector PMI too. These are October readings. They came out towards the end of the week, the October manufacturing PMI. Only just trickled up, went up to 53.3 from 53.2, but still a respectable reading. But the services sector PMI went up from 54.6 to 56. It's a pretty large part of the US economy still going well. That's not to say that COVID-19's not a problem over there. It's actually got worse. Getting vast COVID-19 infection rate in the United States. But it's largely being ignored, and particularly so by the president, who is trying to make out that what's all this COVID stuff? Let's just go and get on with things, and it is what it is. We're going to get infected, but we've got a vaccine coming, and I'm going to give you this wacky drug to all the seniors. And he was involved in a second debate there during the week with Biden. It was a more gentlemanly debate. It actually got down to a few issues. You can see that Trump is running hard as he runs towards the election. And through the course of this week, he's going to be doing these rallies, three a day, all the way through to election day if his health holds up. It'll just be interesting watching the final stages of the US election campaign with the election coming up on the 3rd of November. Also this week in the US, we get into reporting season for US companies. For the most part, many companies look as if they'll be reporting pretty good sales with still a pretty uncertain future. So waiting to see how the market responds to that. We also get more data, and for the most part, it's going to be, looks like being reasonably encouraging data again. We've got some more housing data. Today we have September new home sales coming out. They rose by 4.8% going back to August. They're expected to rise another 2.8%. We also get October consumer confidence coming out on Tuesday. That's expected to rise further. It had a big jump last month. It went from the low 90s to 101.8 and is expected to rise further to 102.5. So pretty strong reading expected there. We'll also get what will probably be President Trump's favorite economic reading. This is his new favorite one. He doesn't know it yet, but he'll be on this like there's no tomorrow when it comes out. I doubt whether he's even aware it's coming out. It's Q3 GDP. And it comes out on Thursday. And the most forecasts are suggesting, you may recall that going back to Q2, they annualized their quarterly GDP report. So we had minus 31.4% That was in the depths of the recession in Q2. We've had a very big bounce out in Q3, and the market consensus forecast is plus 31.9% annualized GDP growth. If it comes in around then, you can imagine what President Trump's going to do with that number as he runs towards the final stages. It's coming out perfectly for him too, just before the US election. That will be all he will talk about, literally running from then on out into the election. So a number that's interesting. It's also, in some ways, it won't stay as strong as that. You'll get a pretty significant pullback on that as you get into Q4, but that'll be somewhat irrelevant. The driving force of it is very much household consumption expenditure, and also the other big part of it is housing activity too, which has just been going gangbusters and will give a very, very big contribution inside that GDP report. On the same day, we'll get pending home sales out of the United States for September. Going back to August, they rose by 8.8%, expected to rise another 4.5% for the month of September. And we'll round the week off with employment costs, which are rising but not much, 0.5% quarter on quarter, probably the same as the quarter before. And some more sentiment data for the month of October. Both the Chicago Purchasing Managers Index, that regional survey last month really bolted ahead. It went up to 62.4. It's unlikely to stay quite that high, and expect to see it probably drift back a bit to 59.3. And October Michigan consumer sentiment, this will be the revised number. We had the preliminary number at 81.2, but at this stage the market thinks that will stay the same. Out of China last week, we had some pretty key data too. You know, they're the very first country to report Q3 GDP. And in some ways, they're a bit of a roadmap for where the rest of us may go, because China was first into the COVID-19 crisis way back in Q1. So their big fall in GDP was way back in Q1, whereas most other economies, the big fall in GDP was in Q2. They started to come out in Q2 as they started to ease most of their restrictions, as other countries were starting to restrict going through Q2. And so Q2 GDP in China showed a huge bounce, 11.5% quarter on quarter. If you annualise that the US way, you'd be coming out at 46%. So that puts it into some sort of comparison with what we might be getting out of the US this week. You know, so China was actually doing better than the US figure that we expect this week. You won't hear Donald Trump talking about that, of course. And the year-on-year went up to 3.2% after being down at -6% going into through Q1. We're going to get that pulling back quite a bit when we see the Q3 report. So 11.5% quarter-on-quarter in Q2 is going to turn, we think, into plus 2.7%. It's just that natural settling back after that first flush that you get as you come out of recession. And there'll still be a bit of a climb in the annual GDP rate, 4.9% from 3.2%. But that's what we expect to see just about everywhere else, except about a quarter behind. So it's we get these big Q3 GDP jumps, followed by some big pullbacks. And some of the pullbacks are going to be worse than in China too, because in the case of the US, you've had Congress arguing about income support, where that supplement for unemployment benefits just hasn't been there the last month, and still they're arguing about it. And in somewhere like Europe, you're seeing that they're going back to restrictions big time because of the new wave of COVID-19 infections. So it's going to be rather more pronounced than the swings and roundabouts that you're seeing running through China. Just some of the other data that came out of China that was worth mentioning. Last week we had fixed asset investment spending. It's accelerated in September to plus 0.8% year-on-year from minus 0.3%. Industrial production, right at the forefront of economic growth in China at the moment, it was up 6.9% year-on-year after being up 5.6% the month before. And finally, retail sales starting to trickle ahead. So retail sales, a bit better than the market expected, up 3.3% year-on-year after being up 0.5% the month before. So, the economy is coming together there, but you can't repeat what they did going back to Q2 when you had a huge lift in GDP. It starts to fade back as you go a bit further forward. They've got some PMI data coming out this week, so we'll watch that. It's things like manufacturing PMI, services PMI. They're probably going to maintain their levels in the low and mid-50s for all of those reports coming through. In Australia last week, we had a bit of talk from the RBA and the RBA minutes, and the message from it loud and clear is that they see this very uneven pattern of economic activity over the course of coming months. They're going to leave interest rates as low as they possibly can without going negative. There's a strong hint that they're going to be cutting rates again. So come Melbourne Cup Day, the Reserve Bank meeting, then everybody expects now that they're going to drop rates 15 basis points down to 0.1%. So that coming, we think, as we go into next month. Also, we had some data. We had preliminary retail trade data for the month of September. And what that showed was not as severe a fall as the few forecasters who look at this one were thinking. Most forecasters were thinking it would fall about 2 to 2.5%, because having Victoria out largely, it fell but by 1.5% after a 4% fall the month before. Nevertheless, the year-on-year, because of some of the big jumps we had earlier on, is still up. And so the year-on-year lift in retail trade is 5.2%. And the quarterly real retail trade reading on the preliminary number is running probably close to about 5 to 5.5% quarter-on-quarter growth after falling 2.8% going back the quarter before. So this is where we get some lift in our Q3 GDP too. Our Q3 GDP won't be out until the beginning of December. We're one of the last ones to report it. There will be a difference too. This is where Australia's going to be a bit better than the rest of the world. In terms of our Q3 GDP, we won't have quite such a pronounced jump in GDP as many other countries. The obvious reason for that is we had Victoria in lockdown through the whole quarter. But what we will get, which many other countries won't. Other countries are going to have some pullback in Q4. We'll probably have our best GDP reading for Q4 because, touch wood, we should have Victoria out of restrictions over coming weeks, borders opening internally. We had a pretty expansionary budget, even though the shape of the budget changed a bit. People here are pretty confident for the most part. We should get some pretty good GDP reading for Q4 when other countries are actually starting to show some signs of setback. So watching to see all that occur as we go a bit further down the track. The other reason for all this too is that COVID-19 infection rate in Australia is just about the lowest in the world, at a time when the rest of the world is having a very significant new wave of COVID infections. So we're actually doing very, very well on that basis too, which is helpful in terms of, at least once we start to open things up, keeping things open. This week in Australia, we have some preliminary international trade data coming out today. We also have third quarter CPI coming out. Always hard to predict this one, especially when you've got some key components which are jumping around big time. So some of the movements inside the CPI are, petrol prices would have had a big rebound through Q3, and of course childcare costs, which were free going back through Q2, reimposed in Q3. You've got a big jump, obviously, in that particular item. So market consensus forecast, and we could have a very wide range on this because it's very hard to predict it, exactly what the statistician will pick up. But after the CPI showed a 1.9% quarterly fall going back to Q2 and the annual rate was minus 0.3%, the market thinks that on Wednesday we'll see the Q3 CPI coming at plus 1.5% quarter on quarter, and the annual rate will jump to plus 0.7. It's some of the lumps and bumps, and it won't be there when you get into the trim mean and the weighted median, because they take out the extreme readings. So trim mean and weighted median, trim mean going back to the previous quarter was minus 0.1%, plus 1.2% year on year. for the current quarter, it's expected to be plus 0.3%, which means the annual rate will drift down to 1.1 from 1.2. And the weighted median, which was plus 0.1% in Q2, plus 1.3% year-on-year, expected to show a quarterly rise of 0.3%, plus 1.3%, the same as the previous quarter. And realistically, that's where inflation is really based in Australia, when you take out the extremes for administered prices and what's been happening with petrol prices. We got down into the low ones, effectively, rather than being minus 0.3 that the headline CPI showed. We also get some export price data, import price data, both of those showing again some falls after some falls the previous quarter. Later in the week, we'll get private sector credit coming out. Credit just starting to creep up with housing finance starting to improve. In Europe, last week, we had consumer confidence came out. It did worsen, as you'd expect, in October, with some countries looking down the gun barrel of more severe restrictions. And the countries which are going into new restrictions at the moment, they're the bigger economies. So it's in the UK, France, Spain, Italy, all of them reimposing restrictions of one form or another. And with the COVID infection rate that they've got there, you know, they're going to be in place for a while. Things are worsening a bit in Europe. We had the October manufacturing PMI and services PMI. The manufacturing PMI is still holding up, so you can still keep factories open. It went up to 54.4 from 53.7, but the services sector PMI came back a touch to 46.2 from 48. If anything, that services sector PMI is going to nosedive over the next month or two. Europe this week, you know, we have October and Business Confidence Survey coming out on Thursday. We're probably coming back to 89.6 from 91.1. European Central Bank policy meeting. It's unlikely they will change things, but if they do, they'll try and find or tweak a new form of even easier quantitative easing. It's hard to think that they will change their official deposit rate, which is already sits at minus 0.5%. So that one seems unlikely. It is interesting that last week the Bank of England gave a strong hint that it will soon be pushing its interest rates into negative territory. So it's another country which will soon be clattering into the negative ranks before long. And very late in the week we'll get the September unemployment rate, which has been holding down relatively well. It did get up to 8.1% going back to August. Expected to drift up a bit further to 8.3%. But broadly speaking, through the course of this week, you know, people still watching the US as we run towards elections. The company reports coming out of there, the data's still looking okay. You've still got reasonably accommodating policies. I think everybody's watching too on a day-to-day basis whether a Congress can get its act together to extend unemployment benefits, or higher level unemployment benefits over there. That's going to be pretty key to, you know, whether the US economy just settles back a little in Q4 or really comes back with a thump. And here in Australia, watching the CPI when it comes out on Wednesday. But broadly speaking, you know, the policy support here is looking pretty good. I should also give an honourable mention to the housing over the course of the weekend. In Sydney, we got the clearance rate above 80% for the first time in a long time. So housing is still running very, very well as far as Australia is concerned. One of the reasons why, when I look further ahead, I think, you know, soon we'll have to accept we're going to be one of the outperforming economies in the world as we go further ahead. That will obviously have some impacts too, relative, not so much on interest rates, but, you know, probably in terms of the exchange rate.